It's a Friday night on beautiful St. Simon's Island, the crown jewel of Georgia's Golden Isles, and we're in the kitchen of the local hotspot, Georgia's Sea Grill, with executive chef Tim Lynch. Let's talk about the Sea Grill. This is a place you grew up, you went away, and you came back.
Yeah, so I grew up on St. Simon's, not from here, but spent majority of my life here as a kid, elementary school, middle school, high school. Even did college, did my culinary apprenticeship program here with Sea Island, and then after that I went off to Kentucky for a couple years and came back. Been with the Sea Grill for 6 years. It's an amazing place, just helping Zach create a story that is special.
And what a special story it is. This venture culminates the efforts of two Georgia farms, both operated by Georgia Sea Grill's owner, Zach Gowan. Today on A Fork in the Road, we'll take you from the Georgia coast to the marshes of Glynn County and back. You'll learn that with knowledge, dedication to quality, and collaboration, there's no telling what great things can happen. I came from the mud. There's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree. There's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia Grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we're visiting Georgia's Sea Grill on St. Simon's Island. But that's not the only spot on our itinerary. Later on, we'll travel to Blythe Island's Potlicker Farms, where this restaurant grows its impressive selection of produce. We'll also visit Satilla Pond in White Oak, where the Sea Grill's catfish are harvested the old-fashioned way by executive chef Tim Lynch and farm manager Eric Miller. Come along. This one's going to be fun.
All right, you got a good one here.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice one right there. They're a hybrid catfish between a blue and a channel. This is above average size.
Look like it was fun to catch.
Catfish are always fun.
It's all muscle.
For now, let's spend some more time in the kitchen with Chef Tim. Like its name suggests, Georgia Sea Grill specializes in the finest seafood coastal Georgia has to offer.
As far as Georgia Sea Grill goes, we are a seafood-driven restaurant. Any point in time during the week, you can find up to 6 varieties of different fish. Some are local, some aren't. All depends on what's in season, what I'm getting off certain charter captains, and also what I get through my fish purveyor. We always have salmon. I try to always have triple tail, which is a local favorite here in the Golden Isles. Grouper snapper, of course, and then, you know, goes between redfish, flounder, halibut. We have fried shrimp, we have fried oysters, we have oysters on the half shell. And then, of course, we have scallops. It's another favorite. And then we also have other non-seafood items. Short ribs are super popular here. Also, another popular item is our roasted chicken. It is sourced locally from Grassroots Farms right down the road. We brine it for 48 hours, it gets sous vide for 6 hours, and then we roast it to order. Very good.
This restaurant's current iteration is the brainchild of entrepreneur Golden Isles native Zach Gowan. He purchased the business in 2014.
You know, before I had Sea Grill, I had a sports bar for about 7 years, and I kind of felt I wanted to change things up, and the opportunity to purchase the Sea Grill arose, and I wanted it to be more service-driven, more quality, and more with the times. The opportunity to source local as possible, you know, when we can, where we can, establish relationships with farmers and fishmongers, and, you know, bring in quality. Also to have the best experience possible for our guests. We're not a turn and burn kind of a place. It's more about the experience and a relaxed environment.
Now, Zach's relationship with Chef Tim goes way back.
I kind of knew Tim and his brothers growing up. We worked together at a restaurant, Brogan's North, for a little bit. And when I had Loco's, the other restaurant, he'd come in, and I just knew, and we'd just always been friendly with each other. And the opportunity arose where I needed a chef, and I knew that from his experience with Sea Island and his training that he was the guy, and his temperament. You know, if I can imagine being on a car ride with someone for 2 hours and still like the guy, then that's all. That's one of the most important qualifications for me is personality. I knew Tim was a guy, and the way he works with people, he understood the value of quality, you know, and the best for everybody.
It's because of that dedication to quality that Zach Gowan started Potlicker Farm. Nestled between St. Simon's Island and the city of Brunswick, this farm is a place to grow, experiment, and make sure all the veggies served at Georgia Sea Grill are of the highest quality.
There's not really many farms in this area, organic farms, and I just thought that it would work well with the Sea Grill and with the community. You know, makes a great story.
Potlicker Farm's name comes from the Potlicker Papers, a food history of the modern South by John T. Edge. Beloved by chefs and other kitchen-goers all over, the book has been crucial for the development of modern Southern cuisine since it was first published in 2017.
I was reading, just finishing up Potlicker Papers by John T. Edge, and, I mean, literally less than 2 weeks later, I came across some property for sale on Potlicker's Place. It's such a unique name, and it was clear and cleared out for the most part with a old goat farm. I knew the soil was great, and I had a house there that needed some work, and it kind of just came like textbook, like, okay, this is like serendipity.
Potlicker has so many different meanings in the South. And one of the ones is synonymous with farming and with the liquor that comes off of greens, of course. So, you know, just the history of that with the shrimping and the shrimping industry here, it just makes this property even more valuable to us with the history of it.
That's Sam McPherson, head farmer at Potlicker Farm.
It's a beautiful space. Tell me about the land, where we are, and the variety of what you grow here.
Yes, yeah, we're on Blythe Island, and we have about 8 acres. We only do about 2 acres of production. We're a certified naturally grown market garden, and farm's kind of a misnomer for us because we're so small. We grow mostly seasonal vegetables. We do have some citrus trees and blueberry bushes planted as well. But right now, during the summer, we're growing things like tomatoes and squash, all the typical okra, onions, leeks, you know, basil, cucumbers, melons like you saw. So you can really see our production from seed all the way to the table.
This farm is in great hands with Sam. His background in gardening goes all the way back to childhood.
My background in farming all comes from my family and my interest in it from my great-grandparents who were over in Nashville, Georgia. They always had a large garden. They always had an organic garden because they had to, because they didn't have a lot of money. It was out of necessity that they had to grow organically. And I learned a lot from them, as well as we had an organic cooperative that my wife and I ran in Camden County for a number of years. All of that led into Zach and I having the idea of starting a farm here locally and vegetables, clean vegetables, specifically for our market and for local restaurants.
Georgia Sea Grill is this farm's biggest beneficiary.
They get weekly deliveries, and we deliver the same day as we harvest everything. I'll harvest in the morning, wash and pack everything, and then be delivering that afternoon.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam has a unique knowledge about what restaurants need when it comes to produce. His partnership with Zach Gowan actually started in the kitchen with Chef Tim Lynch.
Sam, he was actually did his internship with me, and then Zach approached him about the idea of doing pot liquor, and he liked farming just that much more. So it is awesome to work with somebody like Sam that is super knowledgeable about what he's growing, but also has a knowledge about what it takes when it comes through the kitchen.
He's growing some things I hadn't seen before. It's almost experimental in a way.
It is. And there's some stuff that I've gotten that I had no idea about. So it's an education for me as well. And I highly enjoy that. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, the farm is a place where Sam can experiment to his heart's desire and really let his creativity shine.
Because, yeah. You know, we walk around, there are things you don't normally see.
Yes.
On people's farms. That's got to be fun.
It is. It's very fun. And it's the creative side of it that really keeps me going, and that side to explore. And really, it's all because of Zach and Tim really give me that leeway and trust me to bring them things that they're going to like, and also to be able to produce those things that are going to be, you know, a good quality. As well. You know, it's something just to produce organic food, but it's a whole other thing to produce organic food and to make it competitively a good quality to regular conventionally grown produce. That I'm able to produce things like candy roaster squash, even really tropical things like turmeric and ginger and lemongrass that we've been growing now for about 3 years that they use in soups and sauces and stews, and they can find their own creative ways to do it. So it's good to have that relationship. I love it. It really keeps me going. Because I can be creative, not just producing staples, but also those, you know, kind of unique things as well.
One of the things grown here is exclusive to Sea Island. Through years of experimentation, Sam was able to create his own strain of peas, which he can truly call his own.
These are Sea Island red peas. Sea Island red peas are special because they were brought over by slaves originally to the islands. The story is that they just carried them in their pocket because they were very hardy and they would grow anywhere. And so when they got out to the islands, they just cast them in their own home gardens, and they were seed saved every year successively after that. We were very fortunate to have a friend that worked on Sapelo Island who was able to get us some seeds from the Bailey family. We're very appreciative of that. And then we also got some from Matthew Rayford from Gilliard Farms just down the road, and we crossed those over the last 5-6 years, and we've been growing a crop of them ever since. And they're specific to this area now that people really, they really recognize Sea Island peas as being from Sapelo and the Sea Islands here of Georgia and some of South Carolina as well. These are an exceptionally creamy taste. If you ever had, you know, like the cream peas, those, it's just like that, except just a little smaller.
That is neat. This farm may be small, but it's mighty. It is amazing how much Sam has been able to pack into just 8 acres.
Shishitos, poblanos, eggplants, I have some leeks, butternuts, candy roasters, a few other things I can't remember that'll all be going to Georgia Sea Grill.
Now these look different.
Yes, sir, these are eggplant. And these are an Italian variety. With my culinary background, I grow everything for taste. So we like to grow these beautiful Rosa Bianca, Italian heirloom. They're so delicious. And anybody who likes eggplant will love them. And anybody who doesn't like eggplant will probably become an eggplant fan. These are jalapenos. You see, we got some nice red ones. We have some cantaloupes over here. Hard to grow, so highly prized among the chefs.
And there are even some pecan trees out here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and we think that they're 70 years old. We have about 6 on the property. There's a couple behind you, and then there's 4 out here in the field that we helped to bring back to life by getting all the vines off of them and giving them a good trim. And they've actually been producing some more nut crops for us.
Potlicker Farm grows just about every vegetable you could imagine, and even some fruit. But that's not all.
So something smells really good around here.
Yes, sir, that's lemongrass. This was one of the first things I started growing many years ago. It was actually given to me by my father-in-law. It has grown and it has multiplied into giant bushes you see all over the property now. We grow them in front and back of our hoop houses to help deter pests. It's also a food crop. We sell a lot of it. I sell a lot of plants in the spring and summertime, and it's just nice and pleasant, and the smell is beautiful, especially when I come here and cut it all down and shorten it down, and you can just smell it, you know, for all the way to the house almost. So this here is a whole row of basil. This is Thai basil. This is a very beautiful, like nice kind of spicy licorice-y basil. And I like to use it, believe it or not, I love to use it in spaghetti and meatballs because it gives it that extra peppery flavor. It's almost something you can't pinpoint.
I'm 2-3 feet away, I can smell it.
Yes, sir, yeah. And of course we grow Genovese basil, which is just green basil, this nice basil. This is more Thai. And then down on the end, we have some purple basil. And actually all three of them combined, the green, the purple, and the Thai, make the best meatballs you've ever had. It just gives it that extra over-the-top flavor.
Now, we've spent some time with Chef Tim in the kitchen at Georgia Sea Grill, and we've spent some time with Sam at Potlicker Farm. So, now we've got to talk about where they get their fish, right? And to do that, this episode's going to need a part two. And you may be surprised who is actually out catching the fish.
So, we try not to invite too many people out here to know the whereabouts of the farm. They have to be either friends with Tim and I, or we invited a few of employees that Tim works with out here to help.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.